So I've heard many different ways people express or describe their loneliness. One interesting thing in the variety of ways people have described their loneliness, most people do it and they express it through similes or metaphors. One way I heard someone say it was like, it's like a trap door. Loneliness is like a trap door. Once you're in, you can't get out. I read someone else as they described loneliness as a physical sickness. They said it's like a physical sickness. It's like my whole body aches with it. It's like a fever. Someone else addressed it and they said it's like when you need a hug and no one is around or you wish others would just see that you need a hug and they would give you a hug. That's how the feeling is and described in them. They need that physical affirmation of it. Another person said it's like being in a deep hole. One description I thought was cute and it was interesting. The person said it's like playing Mario Kart, where you're in a game where everybody's throwing shells at each other and everyone's throwing shells at you, but when you get hit, nobody turns to you and acknowledges that you're hurt or apologizes. Others described it as pain, as hardship, as a distress in their life. One person described it as emptiness. And that resonated something. Because I think in many of the different descriptions I've heard, one that I've heard regularly over time, and maybe you connect with this and this resonates with you, is loneliness feels like an emptiness. It's like an emptiness. See, when lonely, you may feel like you're on empty. There's just something about that description. You can have every other need met in your life. You can have all those other needs. You can have money in the bank account. That bank account's not empty. You can have a house you live in. You can have people around you, but yet you feel empty inside. If you're lonely, you can feel empty, like there's nothing left inside of you. It's like a hunger that you cannot fill. In all these metaphors of loneliness, we hear something I think that is a common denominator. See, loneliness is a type of suffering. Loneliness is a hardship. Loneliness is a pain. It's a suffering that we carry in this life. Elizabeth Elliot was a woman of great courage who lived a life suffering loneliness. She lived her life suffering loneliness. Widowed three times throughout her life. Her first husband, Jim Elliot, was one of five missionaries who was killed while taking the gospel to an unreached people group. Surprisingly, she would continue those missionary journeys. And familiar with suffering, often taking these journeys alone, she would describe the suffering of loneliness. And she would say things like the deepest things that she learned in her own life came from her deepest sufferings in life. The things that she learned about God. And she would say, out of the deepest waters and out of the hottest fires have come the deepest things she knew about God. In her book, Finding Your Way Through Loneliness, Elizabeth Elliot writes about her loneliness. And here's what she said and how she described it. Loneliness is much worse than being stuck in a traffic jam or having to do without cheesecake. Perhaps we hardly think of its calling for courage because we hardly think of it as real suffering. Yet it fits the simplest definition I know. Having what you don't want or wanting what you don't have. Loneliness, we don't want. It comes from wanting what we don't have. Did you catch that definition of suffering? Having what you don't want or wanting what you don't have. Loneliness, it's something many have and don't want. And loneliness puts us in a place where we want what others have that we don't have. See, loneliness is suffering that comes from wanting what we don't have. Loneliness fits this definition of suffering. Loneliness is the suffering that we experience because we want something so badly. Isn't that what the thing about suffering is? Is suffering is you want something so badly, and because you want most, and when you desire something most, which you want the most and you can't have. See, we suffer so much when we desire the thing so much and we can't have it. You ever seen a kid suffer waiting for Christmas? And the way they react is not much different than some other people that they react during pain. And like, some of them, like, they see the gift, they want to open the gift, but they have to wait more days. It's because when we want something so badly, and that desire is so great, the greater the desire, the greater the suffering when that desire is unmet. Loneliness is a suffering. Because we have what we don't want, or we want what we do not have. And we're going to talk more about that today. My name is Casey, and it is such an honor and a privilege to be together with you. And I can't tell you how much I cherish these times that we get to spend time together, be with one another in the room. We are grateful for the time that we get to spend with those of you who are watching online from wherever you are. If you are new with us in the room, or if you're new with us online, we do have a gift for you today. If you're in the room, we'd love to give you that gift right after today's service. So if you'd make your way through our lobby into our Welcome Center. Our Welcome Center is located right across that lobby there. In that Welcome Center, a host will greet you, and they would love to give you a gift for being with us today. And while you're there in that Welcome Center, would you allow our host to share with you four things that we believe are very meaningful about who we are as a church family? And we think that'll be good for you to know. You'll be encouraged by that. And we're so grateful that you're here. If you're new with us online, we have a gift for you. They're posting a link to a Connect card right now. Fill that Connect card out, and that's the way that we can send you a gift for being with us today. Hey, Westside, would you help me welcome everyone that's watching online, and let those that are new with us in the room know how grateful we are to be with them? Yeah. So loneliness is not in everyone's story. We need to recognize that. And for many of us, loneliness has not been a part of our story, or it's been small seasons or short seasons in our story. But if loneliness isn't a part of your story, I want you to know you are close to someone who has been impacted personally by the wilderness of loneliness, and you may be even close to them and even sitting next to them, and they might not have ever even voiced that to you. And in this series, we're changing how we think about loneliness. And now, while loneliness is a suffering for many, we are flipping the script on loneliness. And we're discovering something as we flip this script on loneliness. And here's a series big idea that we've been learning. Excuse me. Loneliness is a gift that leads us to Jesus and allows us to experience his greater grace. It's a gift that leads us to Jesus. This series is not intended to be a self-help a step-by-step way to get out and fix your loneliness. For some of you, maybe this series will help fix a season of loneliness for you. And if so, I am so grateful for God's grace that's going to be revealed in that beautiful, special way. But for many of us, loneliness may not be fixed. It may be a part of our story until we are with Jesus Christ in eternity. And in this life that we live, in the wilderness of loneliness, we want you to think differently about loneliness. We want you to see how the feelings of loneliness, thank you, sir. We want you to see how the feelings of loneliness can lead you to experience Jesus. That your loneliness is going to lead you, and the gift is him. And in this, you're going to experience his grace. It's a gift that is greater than anything else you could ever experience. And that gift of grace is priceless. And that gift of grace is precious. And that is why in this series, we are encouraging you to use a tool that we are using in this acrostic called REACH. In this, we want you to be able to reach up to receive God's grace, and we want you to reach out to give to others in your loneliness. So you're gonna receive God's grace in your loneliness, and we want you to reach out to give to others in your loneliness. And it is our hope, it is our prayer that when you feel lonely, when you feel lonely, that this loneliness becomes a trigger not to close in, but a trigger to reach up and to reach out. We want to recalibrate your brain, reprogram your mind, if you will, in your operating system to where your new impulse when you're lonely is to reach. That your new impulse is to reach, and by doing one or more of these things, the R is to recognize your loneliness. Recognize its sources. Where does it come from? Its symptoms. What does it look like? And recognize its risk. That left unchecked, where will this lead? And then we're going to learn to do the E. We're learning to do the E. Today, we're going to learn more about this today. To express our loneliness to God. And to express our loneliness to someone else. And then A, we're going to anticipate. We're going to anticipate that God's going to work in our wilderness of loneliness, and he's going to transform the loneliness into something positive and useful for his purposes. And today, I hope you come in, and no matter what the suffering in life looks like, I hope that you anticipate that God's going to work in this season of suffering, especially if it's a season of loneliness. And he's going to reveal himself. And what we're going to talk about, this ancient practice we're going to talk about today, is going to be a way for you to voice your anticipation to God and then see. We want to make a choice. It's choose to connect with God and others. It's one thing to express to God our loneliness. It's another thing to connect with God in our wilderness of loneliness. And we're going to make a choice today. And today, we're going to make a choice to connect. And then the H is we're going to honor God. We're going to honor God in this season of the wilderness of loneliness. And we're going to honor this by dedicating the season of loneliness to God. We're going to make the season holy. We're going to set it apart because that's what making it sacred means. We're going to set it apart for God. We're going to make this a holy thing. And when we put it apart for God, when you use anything and set anything apart to God, any part of your story, you say, dedicate, God, I dedicate this difficulty to you. He can use any part of your story for his glory. Any part, including our sufferings. Now, the suffering of loneliness may be something that we endure until we are with Jesus Christ. It may be something we endure in this life, and it may have seasons where it's stronger and less, and these seasons may come and go until we are with Christ forever and eternity. And learning to reach is how we navigate this wilderness of loneliness. And this is something that we want to help you do. And this will give us the strength to endure the wilderness of loneliness. And Jesus gives us a hope. Jesus tells us that through his teachings, he promises that when we are with him forever in eternity, that when we are beyond this life and this life is over for all of us, in each of us, and when this life is over for you and you're with Christ in eternity because your trust is in Christ's resurrection, and you know who you are in him, he promises you, and he promises us through scripture, that he will fulfill our longings and satisfy all our desires when we are with him. He's going to fulfill your desperate longings, and he will satisfy your deepest desires in a way that no human being is able to fulfill or even equipped to fulfill. And this is the hope that we hold on to. And we need to know that. We need to know that in the wilderness of loneliness, that the lonely longings that we have that may feel like long seasons in this wilderness, one day will be satisfied. One day we will be satisfied. We will be fully fulfilled. And the lonely longings will be satisfied when we are with Christ. And we're going to talk more about that next week. So do not miss next week. Now, I know it's difficult to accept that this may be a long season, and being in the wilderness may be a long stint, and to think that this is hard and this suffering and the wilderness of loneliness is going to be long. I know that's difficult, but may I remind you of something? When we are in Christ, we are unshakable. And I want to remind you that in this season of loneliness, what if through the wilderness of loneliness that your faith becomes unshakable? That this is the ground where God makes your faith more unshakable in Christ. Now, what is it that we lonely people want so much that we cannot have? What is it that we want so much that we cannot have? Well, I think Elizabeth Elliot puts it so well. Let me read what she says. She says, suffering is a wilderness experience. We feel very much alone and helpless, cut off from others who cannot know how we suffer. We long for someone to come to our aid, be company for us, get us out of this. In the wilderness of loneliness, we are terribly vulnerable. What we want is out. Out. I mean, for those of us in a season of loneliness right now, in the wilderness of loneliness, that might resonate. That's exactly what you want. You want out. This is why the suffering of loneliness is so difficult. You want out and you can't get out. That's what you want and you can't have it. You just want someone to come be company like she describes, and nobody's going to be just even company to sit with you in this wilderness of loneliness. We want out of this suffering, yet we can't get out. Suffering is not what we want. None of our story, and not all in whatever suffering it is, we don't want that suffering, yet it's what we have. And we suffer loneliness. You know why we suffer loneliness? Because we've lost something. We've lost that company that we once had. We've lost that connection with others. We've lost that intimacy that we had to be noticed and known and welcomed and wanted. We've lost that. And because we've lost that, that's what makes us so vulnerable and feel so vulnerable in this wilderness. And when we lose something, we experience something. When we lose something, we experience grief. See, loneliness is a grief from suffering loss. Have you ever considered that loneliness is a grief? That the feeling of loneliness is connected to grief? If you know anything about grief, grief hits us in waves. And if you know anything about being in the wilderness of loneliness, the lonely feelings can hit you like a wave. Out of nowhere, it can hit you. When where you are, just being in that same place and the smell comes to mind, and that smell triggers a memory. Maybe it's a memory of a friend who is no longer a friend anymore, and that smell reminds you of that. Maybe when a song comes on and that song reminds you of a loved one who is no longer with you, maybe death has separated you. And your day was going great until that song came on the radio or that song hit on the playlist. And you were doing great, and then all of a sudden this overwhelming grief comes over you. And that accompanied feeling of loneliness is there. For those who have been through a divorce, and you grieve the loss of the future with what you hoped would be till death do us part. And you've lost that. And now you see on social media a picture that just reminds you of that loss and that you cannot have what you wanted so bad. I know that doesn't work grammatically, should say badly, but I wanted to make it rhyme. And in that moment that you see that picture, the grief just comes and overwhelms you. And in these moments, we're reminded that the things that we've lost, we no longer have. And we want it so badly. And that's when that grief and that loneliness comes. It overwhelms us. See, lonely comes from suffering loss, and we grieve our losses. And when we lose a relationship, we grieve. When we lose the opportunities for future connection, like this could have been a great connection. This could have been the friendship I would have had. And this, we love that. And we love the thought of that. And then all of a sudden it's gone. We grieve that loss, and the loneliness sits with us, and we're in the sea wilderness of loneliness again. And we lose the connections that once made us feel welcome or once made us feel wanted, or we lose the opportunities to feel wanted or welcomed again. We grieve. But I want you to know God has seen this plight of humanity, because this is something we deal with in humanity. And he has given humanity a way to cope with this grief and this grief that comes from suffering and loss. And he has given you and I a beautiful, beautiful ancient practice in this. It's called lament. Lament is this ancient practice that we can utilize today, even though God gave it to the Hebrew people thousands of years ago. Lament. Lament is how we continue to reach up to God in the seasons of grief from suffering, loneliness. And today, I want to help you learn to lament. Learn and join this ancient practice of lamenting. Lament is this voice that God gives us to those of us who are grieving in sorrow. Those of us who are deep in the sorrow of life, and those of us who are suffering in this life. It's a language we can use in the suffering and grief that we have. And it's my hope that today you discover something beautiful as we practice lament. See, lament is a gift God gives us in our suffering to lead us into his grace. Because God loves us, he doesn't leave us without hope, and he lets us lament. He gives us a voice to lament, and it is a way to express our sorrow. It's a way to express ourselves in our suffering that leads you and I to experience the gift of his grace that he wants to so desperately give us in our grief. Lament is a language God gives. And God invites you to use this. It's a language God gives us to invite him into our pain, to invite him into our suffering so he can come alongside of us. It's how we can voice our dependence upon him, and we can voice our dependence upon his spirit, and his spirit in the moment will become our advocate and our counselor. Maybe loneliness is what you're suffering in the season. And maybe you're suffering something else. Maybe loneliness is not your suffering. Suffering is something that we all experience in one way or another. And this is one thing I think that we can all connect with in some way. Regardless if you feel like you're in the wilderness of loneliness, in our sufferings, there are times in our sufferings that we do feel alone. Because that's what suffering does, right? Suffering makes you feel like you're all alone in this. And that's what suffering does. We share in that. So regardless of how you suffer, lament is how we can express our suffering to God and experience his grace. And God's grace will be revealed to us in our trials as we learn to lament. And here's a teaching big idea that we're going to look at. You experience hope and strength by lamenting your sufferings. I can experience hope and strength. I experience hope. And I will experience strength that will give me the endurance I need through the wilderness of loneliness. This is how God intercepts our suffering and our loneliness. And he does this by giving us this tool of lament. Lament is all the way through Scripture. In fact, if you got your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm chapter 13. We're going to land there here in a second. Lament is this practice that helps us experience God's hope and strength. We will experience hope when we hold on to our faith. And like we talked about in week one, when we're going to hold on and lean on our faith instead of leaning on our feeling. When we feel lonely, we're going to hold on to this. And this is a way that we can express our faith in God. And our faith reminds us that there is more to life than this. And our faith is just a reminder that this is temporary. The suffering in this wilderness of loneliness is temporary. The suffering that we have in this life is temporary. And our faith is anchored, is rock solid in a resurrected Jesus who promises life beyond death, and all the sufferings that we endure, he can give us hope. And lamenting in the wilderness of loneliness sustains us and gives us strength to endure through life's suffering. See, lamenting in loneliness provides hope in our pain and anchors our faith in God's goodness. Hope won't take away your suffering, but our hope in God's goodness is that God will one day redeem all our suffering. See, lament is our song in the wilderness of loneliness. Many of David's songs, many of the psalms that we have of King David, many of them are laments. One of the authors that I've read when I was studying lament many years ago is Michael Card. Michael Card wrote A Sacred Sorrow, and he writes that all true songs of worship are born in the wilderness of suffering. He would contend in his book that without the sufferings of loneliness, King David would not have written so many of the psalms that we have today. In other words, David's suffering created his song. And today, I want to help you see that your suffering can create your song. And I want to give you this ancient practice that will give you a voice to help shape your song through the wilderness of loneliness so you can experience hope and strength. So look at Psalm 13 with me. Here it is. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me, Lord, and answer my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Will you circle that word good or underline it? He has been good to me. Here's a simple pattern for us to practice lament. This is one of the many laments in Scripture. And this ancient practice has been tested through history. And this is a gift that God has given the nation of Israel. God gives his people. And this ancient practice has been lost today. You know why? Because we don't embrace grief. Our culture is averse to grief. We shove grief into the closet. We sweep grief under the rug. We tell people and we tell our kids and we teach ourselves to suck it up, buttercup. Why? Because winners don't cry. We don't grieve well. And so today I want to give you an invitation to grieve. I want to give you a way to grieve. And I want to invite you into the simple ancient practice of lament. And it's simple. It doesn't take long to explain it. In this ancient practice of lament, the first step is to turn to God. To turn to God. The first step is to address him. Come straight to him. In this psalm, in verse 1, he goes, how long, Lord? I mean, he's not just addressing God, just he comes in hard. How long, Lord? He turns his address to God. He calls him Lord. The first thing to do in our grief and sorrow that comes from our suffering is to turn our attention to God and address him. Can I tell you, who or what you turn to first is who or what you trust in most. So in our suffering, we want to turn our attention to where our faith is. See, what we turn to first is where our faith is the strongest. And we must turn to God first instead of turning to our attention to substances or sources or relationships that we will learn later that are false solutions, empty solutions for this deep pain. See, we look to medicate our pain. We'll look to anything but God sometimes first to numb the pain that we want to eliminate in our life. And David shows us here that in the pain, even the pain of rejection, the pain of having enemies against you, that we need to first come to God. He shows us to turn to God first and address him. David addresses God as Lord. Maybe you need to address God in however you want to address him. I like to address God as Father. That's the way Jesus reveals God to us, and as a Father. That's the way Scripture reveals God to us as a Father. I like to address him as a Father. Maybe you need to address him as a loving God or a holy God. However you want to address him, the most important thing is in your suffering, first turn your attention to him. Address him. Call him out for who he is. Say, God, I trust that you're a loving God. You're a Father. Lord. And next, complain. I know, right? Oh, yeah. Complain about the pain. God gives you permission to complain. David gets straight to it. I mean, in the first, his opening address to God is a complaint. How long, Lord? I mean, some of us have been told, you can't, it's not faith to complain to God. It's not even faith to complain about God. You know, many of the laments are complaining not just to God, but they're complaining about God. Verses 2 and 3. Look at this. Will you forget me forever? Hello? I'm down here still. I'm suffering here. Are you going to hide your face from me? You're going to ignore me? I mean, he gets raw with God. And we think it's not faith. Did you know it takes greater faith to come to God and express your complaint directly to him because you know he can take it. It takes great faith to do this. And lament is a way that we can voice the injustices we suffer directly to the one who is just in all things. It takes a whole lot to complain to God, and you can trust him with that. See, God, you know what doesn't take much faith? It doesn't take much faith to complain to others. It doesn't take much faith to do that. In fact, it takes no faith at all. But it takes a lot of faith to bring your complaints directly to God. And God invites us to bring our suffering and our pain and cry out to him, to complain about it out loud to him. So complain about your pain, but can I tell you something? Don't camp out here. Don't set up a tent and stay overnight here. Next, what you need to do is ask boldly for what you need. Verse 3, look on me and answer. Lord, my God, give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I've overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. David boldly here asked God to deliver him. He asked for deliverance from his enemies. So we can, in our lament, we can boldly ask God for what we need. After we turn to him, after we complain about our pain, we can now boldly come and ask him for what we need. I love what Jesus says, ask and it'll be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. He calls us. You are a child of God who now has bold, you can boldly come before the throne of God. Ask him boldly for what you need. Here, he asked for deliverance. Maybe you need to boldly ask for something else in your loneliness. When you're suffering. Maybe for those of you who just can't sleep at night, you need to boldly ask, God, give me rest. Maybe for those who are just anxious and you need peace, God, I need peace today. Maybe for those of you who need comfort, you can say, God, I need comfort. And maybe some of you, the grief is so overwhelming, you have no clue what to ask for. And then all you know how to do is just cry and groan. And I want you to know that in your groanings, the Holy Spirit is an advocate that steps in on your beside, on your side, and he steps in on your behalf, and he calls out on your behalf. And you can trust that. Your cry, even though you don't have the words, you don't even know what you need in this moment. But you can boldly ask him, give me what I need. I don't even know what I need. So turn to him. Complain about your pain. Don't camp out there. Boldly ask him for what you need. And then fourth, trust God's goodness and thank him. Verse 5, but I trust in your, look, what's he say? Unfailing love. It's never failed me yet. My heart rejoices in what? Your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Good. Do you trust that God is good? See, this is the core reason we can lament, because God is good. See, if you don't trust God is good, you're not going to turn to him first, because you're going to trust something else is good. And that's the confidence we have in turning to him first, is because he's good. We can turn to him and we can complain to him because he's good. See, if we don't trust God that he's good, we're not going to complain to him because we think he's a correctional officer in the sky that's going to correct us for complaining to him instead of embracing us and say, come here. You can trust that he's good. And you can, because he's good, you can boldly ask him. You can boldly ask him for what you need. Now, you can trust God, and in his goodness, you can trust him. And even though God may not give you what you want, you can trust that he is good and he's going to give you what you need. Because he's good. And then you can trust his goodness. And then we can thank him for his goodness. And if you don't have anything to be thankful for, can I remind you that the life, suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus remind us that in whatever season of life we are in, whatever the suffering looks like, we all have something to be thankful for. Because this Jesus reveals God's good nature to us. It's one we can trust, regardless of what we go through. You can trust his goodness, and you can thank him for the goodness. And that gives you hope. You'll experience his hope as you do this. And he invites you to lament, to experience this hope and experience this strength. You can trust him completely in your wilderness of loneliness. You can trust him. So I want to ask you today, what does your suffering look like? What does it look like? Maybe you resonated with that this suffering makes you feel like you're empty inside. There's nothing left. If so, I want you to hear these words from Jesus. Jesus said this, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. You know what that poor in spirit means? Those who are empty inside. Feel empty inside today? I know you don't feel blessed right now, but Jesus says, oh, you don't understand what you have, because yours, if you just reach out to me, yours is the kingdom of God. All your longingness, the joy, the peace that you desire in life, it's yours. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who are despondent. Blessed are those who have come to the end of themselves. Blessed are those who feel like you're at your wit's end in life. You feel so empty inside. Your hope is the kingdom of heaven. And for those of you who mourn and grieve because of the loss in life that you share, I want you to know that you will be comforted. That is the good life. That is the blessing we have. In this. See, there is comfort for those who lament, and God's kingdom is for those in the wilderness of loneliness. And I want to invite you right now to enter this ancient practice and lament. We're going to do this right now in a simple way. We're going to take just a moment. We're going to give you a moment to pause. And on your sheet, there's some blank space at the end of that sheet, okay? At the end of that, on that page, you can write your lament down. Maybe this is a moment that you need to just close your eyes and you need to just lament before God. And this is what you're gonna do. You're gonna turn to God. You're gonna complain about your pain. You're gonna ask God boldly for what you need. And then you're gonna trust God's goodness. It'll take you 30 seconds to do this in a prayer. Or maybe you need to write it down and just take some time to do that. And then we're going to sing together. This is how your suffering is going to become your song. So I invite you, in this moment, will you do this? and then let's sing together in a moment. We take this moment and let your suffering become your song.